Well, hello everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We want you to be a part of today's broadcast. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a question you'd like to pose, let us hear about it right now. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul wrote this about each and every one of us, and I think this is one of the most exciting truths that we can really understand and live out as children of God. And is this, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Mm-hmm. So we were all saved individually. We were all made new creatures in Christ. We were given a brand new identity, children of God. And then we were placed into the body of Christ. So we're a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. This me culture that we live in today is all about trying to figure out how I can be happy, how I can get my needs met, how can I be the person that I'm supposed to be. It's just me, me, me all the time. That's what this culture is all about and has been for a long, long time. And, you know, we talk about self-image. We need to have, more love for ourselves. And Paul says, you know, at the end of days, people are going to be lovers of self.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have to realize that Christ loves us and that we have to rest in that love. And in doing so, that enables us to fulfill a greater purpose, to really take up our role, to take up our spot in the body of Christ, and to live out that purpose to our full abilities. Now, that's going to mean happiness for us, but not because we're seeking happiness. That's going to mean joy for us, not because we're seeking joy. It's going to be the byproduct of just learning to serve the body at large, so the body at large can fulfill its great purpose out there in the world. So that's why it's so important for us to recognize that we belong, that we're a part of the people of God, that we are individually members of the body of Christ. Now, I've said this 100 times. When I went to college, I went to the University of Georgia. I felt a little bit lost when I got there. At high school, I was a part of the tennis team, the Key Club. I was a member of my church and involved in the youth group, sang in the choir, for goodness sakes.
Oh, my.
Now, they just told me to be silent and lip sync, and
silent
I did that well. But I belong to lots and lots of different groups, and there was something very powerful about knowing that I was a member of this particular group. I really enjoyed that. When I got to Georgia, it was huge. I mean, just a ton of students there, and I didn't know where I really fit in. And finally, I joined a fraternity and got a sense of belonging with this group of guys. But even more so, that need to belong, to feel like you're a part of something that's bigger than yourself, is really made true in the body of Christ. The moment that we believe, the moment that we are born again of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God takes us and baptizes us, places us into the body. And at that point, He gifts us, and He begins to move in us to fulfill the important role, the assignment that He has given us to serve this body of believers. It's exciting, isn't it, Richard?
Oh, it is. And it makes life so much easier to deal with when you really come to grips with the fact that first we derive our identity from God, and then that identity just isn't mine to hold on to,
right,
but is mine to share with other like-minded believers who have derived their identity from Christ. And all together, we get to do things that no one of us could ever accomplish.
Right.
But God works that through us.
Yeah, and we see the importance of this in the sacraments. We see that we're saved individually, mm-hmm. and that's baptism. We go before a body of believers, and we make a public confession about identifying with Christ Jesus, being baptized, buried into Christ, into his death, and raised to walk in the newness of life. And we share that, and the body rejoices together with you as an individual. And then we participate in the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the fact that we belong to one another and that we're bound together in this new covenant that Christ ushered in through his shed blood on the cross. So we recognize the significance of belonging to Christ individually, corporately, and as we take up our role, take up our spot in the body, then I think we begin to flourish really as human beings.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody, and it's the good news that we proclaim every day right here on this particular radio broadcast. We're glad that you're with us today. We have open lines right now. We want you to be a part of this edition, 844-322-2742. So if there's something on your mind, on your heart, and your spirit that you want to talk about, we'd like to talk about it with you. Give us a call right now, whether in the U.S. or Canada, 844-322-2742. And, of course, as Bob was saying, we're talking about our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an identity to have. It's the only one that's worth having, as a matter of fact. And we have a very, very special product that we want to, as kind of our get back at you gift, as you make your gift this month for to a Basic Gospel. It's called Identity, Your Right to Be a Child of God. And we so appreciate all the prayers and support that you give that helps Basic Gospel keep on going, proclaiming this message of love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus. All of us here at Basic Gospel understand that it's all because of you who make this possible. And we ask you to continue to partner with us to keep the message going. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742. You can give through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal. And when you give this month, you're going to get a copy of this 2-CD, 5-message series, a wonderful series on identity, the right to be a child of God. And we thank you for your love and support of this message that you hear every day here on Basic Gospel. Well, again, that number, 844-322-2742, and we got this very interesting call over the weekend. Let's listen.
Hey, Bob, hearing your broadcast, brother, I've been reading the Bible for 35, more, probably a little more than that. I'm in it all the time. I know the word. You guys are wrong. I'm so sorry. You preach a softness on submission and men's headship in the home, and though it's probably very popular in many of your givers are women, you are wrong. The man is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. You can't twist out of that. Stay in Ephesians, it says the wife is to see to it that she respects her husband. I don't think you're presenting the gospel as it's written. I love you guys, and I know it's probably hard to hear. And
so forth.
That's right. Dan, that was a much longer call, and we just edited it for time, but the rest of it basically says more of the same. And I put a call back into Dan because when questions like this arise, I want to make sure that he understands what we're saying and we understand what he's saying. But to come right out and say, you guys are wrong. Well, I've been reading the Bible longer than he has, Richard, and I know you've been reading it longer than he has, and Bob Davis, you have too. So just the fact that you've read the Bible for a long time doesn't mean your interpretation of the word is right or the one that everybody needs to line up with. Now, as far as submission and headship, you know, the Bible is very clear on that. I mean, it just states
absolutely.
It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Then it goes on to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And then at the very end of this passage, Ephesians 5:33, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Well, that's exactly right. Those are the roles that we play in marriage, or we step into in marriage. And there's lots of reasons for that. One, it's the way God arranged it. Two, it meets the marital needs of your spouse. So there's lots of positive, practical reasons for this very thing. Now, as far as headship and submission is concerned, we also have to recognize that the Bible, or that God himself, turns those two words on their heads. I mean, as far as headship is concerned, there's a worldly way to look at headship. And Jesus said, that's not what I'm talking about here. And time again, he talks about what true headship looks like. He says, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. Now, that is the conclusion of a conversation that he is having with his disciples after the question, can we sit at your right hand and at your left? And he says, I'm going to tell you what being great is all about. And being great isn't about the position that you sit in. Being great is about serving. It's not about lording it over. It's about serving. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And we see this theme exploded in the rest of the New Testament. So when it says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church, we're seeing a definition of headship. That's exactly what Christ did. He gave of himself. He sacrificed of himself for the sake of the body. And so, husbands, that's how we're to do it. We're not to lord it over, and we're not to help our wives see to it that they honor us. That is the Holy Spirit's job.
Yep.
And so her role is to submit because, as it says, the husband is the head of the wife. So it says, therefore, be submissive and see to it that you honor him in all things or respect him in all things. That's between her and the Holy Spirit. And so, and all of that is preceded with this idea that we're to be filled with the Spirit, that we're to be submissive one to another. So only as we're being filled by the Spirit and only as we're learning to be submissive one to another do these roles as husband and wife start to make sense, and we start to see them from God's perspective. Now, what has happened through 2,000 years of church history? Well, normally the man, a husband, has tried to help the wife see to it that she respects him in all things. That is not his role, period, in the story. Anyone thinking that that is your role as a husband is not reading what the Word of God has to say. Now, if a wife thinks that it's her role to force her husband to love her as Christ loved the church, she's not reading this in the right way either. So we don't have to shy away from headship and submission. We don't have to try to make it say something other than what it says. But we do have to recognize that the Word of God has defined it in a way that is absolutely counter to what the lost man, the natural mind, would think of headship and submission. So we hope that clarifies it for you. We certainly believe what the Word of God has to say here. I think one of the joys of officiating a wedding for me has always been coming to this point and saying, here's what the Word of God says. Now, husbands, it says that you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church. As you stand here before God and before this group assembled, are you willing to say, yes, I want to fulfill that role as a husband? And then to say the exact same thing to the wife. It says that you are to be submissive. Do you agree with what the Word of God has to say? And then together, are y'all going to carry those out? And, you know, to hear them say yes and then move on, it is just a wonderful, wonderful part of the ceremony. It really, really is, because this isn't about feelings. This isn't about just romantic or emotional feelings. This is a covenant that two people are making. Mm-hmm. And so they are saying to one another through thick and thin that this is the role that I'm going to play. I'm going to serve you in this way as your husband. I'm going to love you as Christ loved the church. And the wife is going to say, I'm going to honor you in all things. Why? Because that's the way God has put it together, and that's the way that we can show forth what this gospel message is all about out there in the world today. So God has done something significant in showing what those roles really are, turning those on their head, so to speak, so that we can see them through the clear lens of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his great love for the church. Richard, any thoughts?
Just a summary. It doesn't say wives manipulate your husbands as to the Lord. And it doesn't say husbands subjugate your wives.
Right.
Not at all. And when I try to play the headship card, then I'm taking my eyes off of Jesus and trying to subjugate my wife to my will, not my job. And if she takes her eyes off of Jesus and tries to get me to love her, then she's manipulating, and that's not her job. It's only when the two of us fix our eyes on Jesus that I will give myself for my wife in a way that makes it a five-finger exercise for her to say, I respect him, I will submit to him. And neither of us has to talk about any of that. It's by grace, through faith, stated as strongly here as Paul could possibly state it.
And it's liberating. It's an act of freedom on both parties' part.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one is forcing that.
Correct.
Because your needs have been met in Jesus.
Yes.
Because you are continuously being filled with the Spirit of God, that your understanding of the love of God is expanding each and every day as you grow in grace and your knowledge of him. You see your heart and everything about you liberated to actually love your mate as God is moving you to do so. And really, that's what this is all about. This is about loving your mate in such a way that shows forth the great love of Christ for his church. So you are freely saying, I want to love my husband in this way, and the husband is saying, I want to freely love my wife in this way. That's how God designed it.
Absolutely. And it's very similar to God's directive on giving. You know, give as you can cheerfully.
Yes.
And so that enters into the marriage issue as well. Well, friends, you know, if this Christian life is not working for you, there's a clear answer in Bob Christopher's Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. At only $10, it can make a huge difference in how you face every day of your life. You'll find it at basicgospel.net, a prominent link right on the homepage. And as I said, it's only $10, and we pay the shipping. Order yours today and find out how this Christian life is really supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by my friend Bob Christopher. Guys, a question from Dave. He says, what do you think of mega church pastors who make six-figure incomes and have church housing allowances and so forth, all in the name of Jesus, yet their staff, who are underpaid, are forced to give 10% and not a penny less? They twist Micah 3:8 so their sheep test God by tithing. Why is dollars the only law they still use? This was the church we left once God allowed us to see the truth. But our friends are still there. How do we help them? That's from Dave, who wrote to us through email, that thing called email.
That's right. One of those high-tech things.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That is a can of worms, and for sure. You know, we can sit here and cast some judgment on things. And, you know, if there's a big church and here's their church policies, then, you know, they've set down the law, so to speak, as far as how the church is going to pay the lead pastor and what's required of all those who work on the staff. That's their prerogative. Does that fit with the biblical model? And I would say, any time that you require somebody to give, then it's not following the biblical model. It's not following what Paul clearly outlined in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 concerning the grace of giving. So if you're forcing somebody to do that, then it robs them of the joy of actually giving.
Yeah.
It really, really does. So, like I said, there are churches and, man, there's all, you know, churches of all sizes and shapes and forms and governments and policies and all of those sort of things. And that's what that particular church came up with and said, this is how we're going to run this organization. And I think that's a key word, because at that point, it's an organization.
Yes.
Now, as far as the church is concerned, it's an organism. It's made up of living people, those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. And within a organization, a church building has a bunch of people in it. There's going to be some that are a part of the church who are truly born again. There are others that are going to be there for other reasons. Yeah. So you came to a point and you said, this isn't the kind of church that I want to be a part of, and so you left. And I think that's good for you. That is good for you. And you continue to love those, your friends that are still there. And if they ask you why you left, don't be afraid to say so. Don't hide that. Don't hide behind it. Just say, this is what I decided and why I decided it and why we're at another church. But, you know, I think there's something about church in America that kind of misses the mark. Gina and I have visited, I can't tell you how many different churches over the last 4 or 5 years. And boy, we walk in and it's like a concert. It's like a performance. I mean, the lights are dim. I almost tripped down the aisle because it's so dark in one church.
And you got to get there earlier.
I know. But it was just, my goodness. I didn't even know who I was singing next to. I mean, you're supposed to be a body of believers. You're supposed to be worshiping together. You can't even see the person next to you that you're singing with.
Yeah.
And so it just seems like you're sitting there isolated, alone, in this huge group of people. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do we do that? And then, you know, the pastor comes up there and everything is just, it's again, like a performance. And then everybody just leaves. Now, that's not every single church. Those are just some experiences I've had. And it's missing the authenticity, the genuineness, and the warmth of the gospel message itself. It's missing the connection of people and really rejoicing together and celebrating the goodness of God together, I think, in so much of this. And I just hope and pray that we get back to that the warmth of the gospel begins to fill these congregations in such a way that people genuinely want to participate, genuinely want to be there, and genuinely want to take up their role as a member of the body of Christ and to serve it in love in such a way that the overall purpose of the church can be made known in glorious ways out there in the world.
Yeah, yes. That's good stuff, guys. Thank you. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition. You know, as a listener-supported ministry, we need your ongoing support to ensure this message of freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ keeps on going out over the airwaves and online. Please help us today with a donation if you can. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can also donate by phone at 844-322-2742, and you can donate through the Basic Gospel app or through PayPal. And when you give this month, the theme this month is your identity in Christ, and when you give this month, we'll send you a copy of our 2-CD series, Identity, the Right to Be a Child of God. So again, thank you for all you do to make it possible for us to continue this good news of the Lord Jesus Christ every day on this ministry and this program that we call Basic Gospel. Remember, if you have a question, call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. We love hearing from you, our listeners. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. And remember, if you can jump online, we're on Facebook and YouTube streaming live video every day at the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time. We'd love for you to join us. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.